You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, the average American throws away $30 each month in the form of uneaten food. We'll talk to Food Friday regular Lori Skelton about ways to cut down on food waste.
First, opioid addiction and overdose has been on the rise in Wisconsin. According to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, in 2013, Wisconsin saw more people in the state die from drug overdoses than it did from suicide, car accidents, or firearms.
Now, research out of UW-Madison is looking at the science behind addiction by giving more attention to the brain's prefrontal cortex, the part responsible for self-control and planning. According to recent findings, the prefrontal cortex seems to be an important place to study to understand impulsive and reward-seeking behavior.
Brian Baldo joins us now. He's an assistant professor of psychiatry in the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Brian, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I'm guessing that there is a lot of research going on around opioids and addiction because it is such a huge public health problem. How did you decide to pursue this specific type of research?
That's a great question. The overarching theme of our laboratory is to study dysregulated motivation. Now, healthy motivated behavior is essential for survival. For example, imagine a hungry animal seeking out food. Mm-hmm. But as we know, too much of even a good thing is bad. So what happens when motivation becomes dysregulated? And it turns out that there are extensive systems of checks and balances in the brain that keeps our motivated behavior within adaptive limits. But what if those checks and balances fail? That could lead to dysfunctional behavior, as you see in certain types of eating disorders, for example, binges and bulimia or binge eating disorder, and other so-called behavioral addictions, such as pathological gambling, and of course also in substance abuse and addiction.
So those checks and balances, what is keeping one thing in balance and maintaining those checks within the brain?
Well, it seems like specific systems and circuits evolved so that, for example, a healthy adaptive motivated behavior like eating never goes out of bounds, so to speak. You know, imagine early in our evolutionary history, finding a rich source of food was a huge advantage. But if we became too locked in, too focused on eating, maybe we wouldn't pay enough attention to the environment and there would be a risk that a predator might get us.
And so, we might be slower, too, if we've gained too much weight.
Absolutely. And so, exactly. And that's a problem that another problem like addiction that society faces is an excess of eating and positive energy balance or obesity. And perhaps an important thing to remember is that an undergirding idea in addiction biology is that these reward systems evolve to direct us to healthy things like eating, reproduction, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. Drugs of abuse get in there and sort of hijack the system by chemically acting on the same substrates that underlie the function of our natural reward system. And one of those neurochemicals are the opioid peptides.
And so when we have too much of those opioid peptides running around in mm-hmm. our brain, I'm getting out of my depth here, what happens to those normal checks and balances?
No, and that's exactly what might be going on. Opioids are crucial for normal brain function, but when there's an excess, what happens is it throws the system of checks and balances off. And what we identified in our research is that the prefrontal cortex actually is quite an important spot in the brain for opioid actions. They've been studied at sort of downstream parts of the brain quite extensively for years. But we decided to study them within the brain's planning and decision-making and self-control center, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And we found that the opioids produce powerful effects.
And so our brains, those really high-level thinking and planning and deciding parts of our brain are kind of being thrown off for what they would usually do and the ways that they would do it.
Exactly. And the normal function of the prefrontal cortex to kind of keep our behavior within adaptive limits is thrown off if there's an excess of opioid release there. One of the experiments we did, we actually taught our experimental subjects to do a task, and we study, you know, we use rodent models mm-hmm. in our lab. We taught them a task, sort of a self-control task, where they would have to press a lever to get a yummy sugar pellet, but they would have to space and regulate their behavior. They couldn't just jump on the lever and go out of control. And they learned to do that quite well. So they learned to space their behavior so that they maximize the number of sugar pellets that they obtain.
So they learned if they went tap, 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 they weren't going to get as much as if they went tap and then waited and then tap and
right.
then waited. Wow.
Even though during that waiting period, they probably really wanted to press the lever to anthropomorphize a bit. But we found that when we made the animals impulsive by making them a little bit hungry, they kind of lost control over their behavior, and they started tapping the lever quickly, and their behavior became very disadvantageous. But if we blocked opioid systems in the prefrontal cortex and nowhere else, we were actually able to restore their self-control, implying that if there's too much, an excess of opioid actions there, it actually can be one of the important substrates that drives food impulsivity, and perhaps by extension, impulsivity in pursuing other rewards as well, maladaptively, such as drugs.
Hmm. We're talking with Brian Baldo. He's assistant professor of psychiatry at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. So how much do we know about what heroin and other opioids do to those circuits in the prefrontal cortex? We've been talking about some of those substances being within the brain naturally, but then if there's this influx from the outside, it would seem like that would have an impact.
Absolutely. And we still don't fully know. As I mentioned, opioids have been studied over the years extensively in other sort of downstream brain sites.
And when you say downstream brain sites, what do we mean?
Well, you can think of the prefrontal cortex as sitting on the top of a neural hierarchy, if you will, a network of structures. And what its job is to do is to take the enormously rich and complex information from an environment and help us to select the optimal, adaptive, and advantageous behavior out of that mix. And it does that in a variety of ways. It helps us to kind of filter out inappropriate behaviors. It helps to keep, you know, task-relevant information online so we can behave optimally. And when you throw off kind of the apex, the prefrontal cortex, mm-hmm. you can imagine sitting at the apex of this hierarchy, then you start to have domino effects downstream. And what we found out, interestingly, is two of the downstream sites that the prefrontal cortex sends connections to seem to act, one as kind of a limiter of motivated behavior and one as a driver of motivated behavior. And what opioids might do is throw off the balance between the limiter and the driver. And as you asked, if you imagine, you know, taking a drug like heroin is all of a sudden you're flooding your brain's natural opioid systems with all this heroin, those systems may very well react and adapt, and that might change the baseline function of those structures and the networks to which they communicate.
So it sounds like sometimes it could actually increase the limiter behavior and sometimes the more impulsive behavior.
Right. So this model we came up with based on some of our experimental results, what we tried to do was first of all look at it from an anatomy perspective. You know, where are those connections? Where are the circuits? And then to also look at those circuits from a neurochemistry perspective. So not just what are the specific projections, but what are the neurochemicals that act within those projections? And the hope is if we can understand that whole network function, then we might have multiple places to attack the problem. We might be able to prescribe medications that act at multiple nodes of the network. And imagine a scenario, for example, where you can actually give, you know, smaller or more limited doses of different drugs in combination and have a synergistic effect. Because the drugs that we have right now that to try to regulate addiction and relapse and so on are only partially effective. Maybe if we can, you know, manipulate multiple systems at once, we can get a much better clinical outcome. And by understanding the chemical coding as well as the anatomical coding of the network, that might be a step in that direction.
So it sounds like there are a lot of very concrete results that could come out of this research. And it seems also that especially addictive behaviors, like you mentioned, overeating and drug abuse and maybe gambling, things like that, there's often kind of a shaming element for people who suffer from those addictions. It sounds like the more we find out about the underlying causes and how all these chemical things going on in our brains can really drive our behavior in very different directions, maybe it kind of takes some of that out of the shadows, too, that people might feel more comfortable getting help.
Absolutely. That's the hope. The brain is an organ like any other, a very complex organ. But if we look at it from a biological perspective, we realize that these disorders emerge from the dysregulated functioning of an organ, just like in any disease, and hopefully that can destigmatize it.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. I really appreciate it. Great.
Brian Baldo is assistant professor of psychiatry at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. He talked with us about research looking at the relationship between addiction and the brain's planning and decision-making center.
Coming up after the news, Food Friday regular Lori Skelton joins us to talk about some delicious ways to cut down on food waste. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. This is Central Time.